seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Romans chapter 12 and the 12th verse. Paul's epistle to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Really, it is only the redeemed of the Lord that know real rejoicing. And what a mercy it is if the Lord is to favour us to know more and more of those blessed times of rejoicing. But even in the times of great darkness, may we ever view those things that the Lord has favoured us with to rejoice in. I'll name just three before we go further with the text. First, to rejoice that there's a precious fountain that's open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That fountain of his precious blood. And oh, may we be enabled to rejoice there is such a fountain. You know, for the poor, tempted, tried, burdened child of God, just the blessed news of such a fountain will make their inmost soul rejoice. We sing in the hymn, don't we? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The second thing we would name of this rejoicing in hope, in rejoicing in the sweet presence of the Lord. You know, when the Lord is pleased to favour us to taste a little of that precious presence of the Saviour, do we not know what it is for our very heart to rejoice? Dear Moses knew much of the presence of the Lord, but how he needed continually that sweet assurance that the Lord was with him. And he could rejoice in the presence of his God. But thirdly, oh, to be able to rejoice in his love. You know, when we think of this sacred ordinance that we hope to administer later, you know, it was all set up by the Saviour in love. Love to his dear people, love to his dear bride, love to all those that the Father had given him to suffer, bleed and die for. And oh, may we know more and more of that love of the dear Redeemer, the love of Christ in our souls. That will melt, you know, the hardest marble of your heart and mine, a sweet taste of the love of Christ. And oh, can we not rejoice in that love as the Lord sweetly conveys it to our poor souls? Love that is so great, so immense. We cannot begin to describe it, can we? The love that the Lord shed abroad for his dear people in suffering, bleeding, dying. But do you know what it is to rejoice in Calvary? If ever there was a sweet manifestation of love, it is manifested at Calvary, isn't it? Love so great for sinners. Well, much could be said, and many sermons no doubt preach further on this first clause, rejoicing in hope. But may we each, as we venture on from this day, be favoured to know more and more of it in our own souls. But then the dear Apostle speaks of those who are rejoicing in hope, the pathway they've got to tread. A path of tribulation. What does the hymn writer say? Tribulation, more or less, ye must and shall endure. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, don't we, that it is through much tribulation ye must enter the kingdom. He didn't say it would be little, but through much. And there may be those this afternoon that are walking a path of tribulation. And that tribulation is crucifying to the flesh. Well, you know, it's profitable to the souls of the Lord's people. It's different than just the troubles of the world. The Lord uses it for the establishing and for the building up of his dear people. They have to pass through it. And as they pass through it, they are favoured in it with the Lord's great mercy, his favour, his love toward them in tribulation. Now, he speaks of it here. He says, patient in tribulation. There's no doubt that there were those in the church at Rome that the apostle knew of that were walking in tribulation. Whether it was affliction, trials of providence, bitter things they had to go through in their souls from the opposition of Satan. But there's one thing about it. It was tribulation to them. But he doesn't just speak of the tribulation. He views in some of those in the church at Rome that they were patient in it, and he exhorts them to patience. He says, patient in tribulation. He didn't say outside of tribulation or viewing it from afar off, but in tribulation. They got to be patient in it. And may that be a word in season to us each. There may be those of you that have got tribulation today. But how are you taking it? How are you walking through it? Is it with patience? We read, didn't we, those two portions in God's holy word this afternoon. First in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 5. It's a wonderful word, really. He speaks there of tribulation. He said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. But then too, in James, he was given much grace to set before those he wrote to the great need of patience. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But then he gives a beautiful description of one that was unable to be patient. And he likens it to dear Job. And if ever a man needed patience, he did, didn't he? And it may be that what you're in today, you're going to need much patience in it. Which I want to look at in a moment. They just remind you of those beautiful words that James went on to speak of. He says, behold. He says, take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, I count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Patient in tribulation. Not rebellious about it. It's easy for us in tribulation to get rebellious. And to get hard. And to rebel against the tribulation. But here he exhorts against it completely. He says, patient in tribulation. And may the Lord give us much patience in a few ways. Well, first of all, patience to bear the tribulation, whatever it may be. Maybe affliction of body. It may be bitter temptations in the soul. It may be, like with Job, many losses, many crosses. But to bear them patiently. And if we want an example of this, oh, you think of the dear Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus. How he patiently bore all that incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. We don't find in any particle of the way which the dear Saviour trod through tribulation, affliction, suffering, ever rebelliousness. And there's the sweet example, really, that we should be patient under it all. Not complaining about, we hear so much in these solemn days, with one complaining of this and that and something else. But you see, where there's a patience given by God to his dear people to bear the tribulation. But secondly, we need patience to wait the Lord's deliverance from that tribulation, if it's his holy will. You know, Job didn't wait in vain, did he? He waited for the Lord's deliverance, and the Lord gave him patience to wait for that deliverance, and the Lord's appearing. It's like Abraham had to wait, as we noticed this morning, patiently for the promise to be fulfilled. Are we patiently waiting for the coming of the dear Redeemer? Patiently waiting. We think of many of the old saints that their last days were days of much tribulation. But there they were, waiting patiently for the Lord to come and take them out of it all. patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord. And dear Job was given that patience to wait. It's a wonderful grace, isn't it, patience? We think too of that word that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrews. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And then he says this, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Oh, may the Lord give us more and more patience. If nothing, I preach this to myself. We need it continually, don't we? And then we need patience with each other. In tribulation, we need much patience, and we need patience with each other. To forbear with one another. And you see, because the apostle, as I said this morning, had a wonderful union with many in the church here at Rome, he could sorrow with those that sorrow, he could weep with those that that wept, and he could rejoice with those that rejoice. And here, he was given patience to bear with some even in their tribulation. Well, much could be said further on that. But then, the third thing in this sacred word is continuing instant in prayer. Now, there's several vital things here. The first is being instant in prayer. And when the Lord grants this, how much we need it continually to be instant in prayer. What did Jesus say in Luke's Gospel? He said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." You see, so often we are fainting, aren't we, instead of praying. But here he exhorts them in Rome, continuing instant in prayer. He had seen how instant they'd been on many occasions in prayer. And really, this is a wonderful exhortation to us. Whatever may come in your pathway, whatever may come in the future, in the unknown way, be instant in prayer. As soon as it comes, be instant to pray. Don't beat back prayer. What does the hymn writer say? Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. And another hymn writer said, "Weakest saints shall wield it best." Instant in prayer. It's necessary, you see. It's vital. It's important now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Instant. If you're in need of help, say something has come upon you and you've got no strength, you need instant help. Do you need it now? Not a week later. Or a day later. If a person's critically ill, they need instant help, don't they? Or somebody falls down, they need instantly someone to lift them up. And think about it spiritually. In the pathway you may be treading, are we instant in prayer? But not only this, being instant in prayer, he exhorts them to continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Not only just when we think we should be instant, but continually. Being instant in prayer. That seemed to strike me so forcibly, the wording of this. You know, it's easy when one trouble ends. We think, well, we can give up praying now. That matter has been answered. But he exhorts us to continue, continuing instant in prayer. It's like the hymn writer said, be thankful for present, and yet ask for more. You know, there have been many times where the Lord has blessed us and favoured us, both in our souls, in the ministry, in the church of God, and we can praise his blessed holy name for all that he has done. But be thankful for that, but yet ask for more. Be instant, you see. Continuing instant in prayer. And you think how the dear Saviour, and may it melt our hearts to meditate upon it, in his sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane, was continuing instant in prayer. How he continually pleaded with his Father for his beloved bride, his church, and how he pleaded continually for the Lord to give him strength to bear all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. And there's a beautiful example. You think of it today. How he continually was in prayer at the throne of grace, pleading with his beloved Father for his beloved bride. And, oh, may we follow that sacred pattern and be given much the breath of real prayer, the urgency of real prayer. We think of dear old Jacob when he was faced with Esau's 400 men against him. What was the dear man doing? He wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord wrestled with him. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me, dear old Jacob said. He was instant in prayer, wasn't he? And we feel as we venture on from today that these three vital things, the great need of them, one feels it in one's own soul, as a church and people here and throughout Zion, and for us each personally. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this precious word to each of our souls, and that we may be given much prayer to pray that these precious truths couched in this text may be ours, and that we may be given grace to walk them out. You see, it's one thing reading the Word of God, it's another thing walking it out. It's walking that out. You know, we read on many occasions of the wonderful deliverances the Lord gave to his dear people in answer to their prayers. But, you know, do we know it for our own soul and our own selves? That we could say, well, we walked it out. I know in my early days in the ministry, there were many godly, gracious hearers in many of our chapels, you know, and they were very discerning. And what they used to like was to hear that the servant of God had walked out because he knew then what he preached. We think of your late beloved pastor, you see, he knew what it was to know every particle of this text because he'd walked it out. He'd know it by experience. And it's a wonderful thing, but I must leave it because of the ordinance. But may the Holy Spirit then, I've only touched the surface of this beautiful word today, apply the text to us, if nothing else. And that he might have all the glory, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. not putting it off, instant in prayer. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.